Hey guys, we got a jam-packed episode today. This is episode 003, Weird Videos, and we hope you guys are enjoying the podcast. At MC Vocal Fry on Facebook and Twitter, www.vocalfry.com on the interwebs. Hope you guys have a good week. Roll it.
You're listening to the MC Vocal Fry Podcast, your weekly dash of voice science, pedagogy, and pop culture. Coming to you from the campus of Mississippi College in Clinton, Mississippi.
You know, you just gotta walk barefoot everywhere for about a month, and then your feet kind of get over it.
I have absolutely zero plans to ever do that.
Okay. But going barefoot is glorious. No, I mean, I don't listen. Do it in public, but like as soon as I get like home, shoes are gone.
You know how people have like things about like, for example, bugs.
I don't like them.
Or certain sounds of certain words.
Yeah.
Like M-O-I-S-T.
It's not a bad word.
That one has never bothered me.
Yeah, because you can't have cake unless it's moist.
Exactly.
Anyway. I have a thing with walking around barefoot. Not with others walking around barefoot. It's not like it bothers me when Michael walks around barefoot, as
right.
He's prone
That's
to do.
If it did bother you, we wouldn't be friends.
Because it's been that way for as long as I can remember.
8 years.
But I do have a thing with me walking around barefoot. It's not something I do. Anyway. Did we see the Thor Ragnarok preview?
I've not seen the most recent one. Is there
30 seconds last night?
It's good.
Okay.
In my opinion,
there's a joke about like he's like, so what are you guys called? He's like, we're the Defenders.
I thought he said the Revengers.
The Revengers, that's right. And he's like, oh, maybe we don't need it. Maybe we don't need a name. Does that mean that we need a name, like other than the M? Oh, by the way, if you're listening, we have changed our name officially by week 3 here.
This is actually episode 1. The first two are episodes -2 and -1.
Oh, we could actually probably list them that way.
Yes.
We've decided to actually officially now name ourselves the MC Vocal Fry, F-R-I, one word, podcast. So we're hoping that the bumper before this will obviously state some social media about the vocal MC Vocal Fry podcast, so that we'll get that information out to you so that I can stop giving you my work email address on these episodes. Yes, we're making a play obviously on Vocal Fry, but also the fact that we record here Friday morning. I make my graduate students come in on Friday morning. I'm a horrible professor.
That's
the name really makes me want french fries. Like, I really want to go buy McDonald's french fries now.
I was
now.
Thinking about funnel cakes.
I really want to get the logo, which is not designed yet, but I really want the logo to be a microphone made of french fries.
Oh, gosh, that would be delicious. I'm sorry, I'm really hungry.
What?
She's going to do her a pre-screening recording for like young artist program auditions, and she's like, "Can I eat the microphone?"
I'm sorry. No, the French fries. My breakfast was just minimal and sad today, so
my breakfast this morning was
that needs to be a spot. What
French
Sarah
fry,
had
French
for
fry,
breakfast,
French
we
fry.
Need to add that as a spot every week.
No.
Sarah's breakfast excursion.
Y'all will make fun
Sarah's
of me if you
excursions.
Know what I eat for breakfast.
I feel like if we create any of these, they're all going to basically be some kind of play on the Doofenshmirtz Evil Incorporated jingle.
Pretty much.
That's because every jingle needs to be like sassy vocal jazz.
Right. Sort of like a play on what's the...
Oh.
Oh, gosh. I almost just knocked the whole computer over. What was the opera we did years ago that you were in?
Oh, gosh.
Trouble in Tahiti. Oh, gosh. I could
That's
not think
bicycle
of that. I was like Bernstein.
Hub, blah, 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 blah.
Oh my, that's an interesting opera. If you've never seen
Trouble
in Tahiti,
Tahiti.
It's a very fine piece.
Trouble in Tahiti's fantastic.
It's a very fine piece, but you got to have it's basically a vehicle for mezzo and baritone, like two people.
And a random jazz trio.
And a random jazz trio.
Who is the Greek chorus?
Yeah, it's very interesting. It's a nice piece of art.
There's a TV version of it that I think PBS did, but it's on YouTube.
Oh, I didn't
YouTube.
Know that.
The whole TV version is on. It's really? It's got the whole Marvelous. Opera. It's really great.
Oh, I'd like to watch that.
It's really nice. No, the trio is always on TV, like a black and white 1950s TV.
So, you have not seen the Thor trailer yet.
I was going to say, because I feel like the most exciting moment out of all of the Thor trailers I've seen so far is seeing Thor, like, being the lightning. He
yes,
is,
but
like,
that's,
the storm.
But the basic theory, spoilers, is that he has consumed the Tesseract at that point. That the Tesseract,
oh,
that he is...
Thor
he,
ate the Tesseract?
Well, I mean,
well, we don't know.
More or less. I mean, basically, he's holding the Tesseract. I mean, I'm assuming that Thor could hold an Infinity Stone. I mean, obviously, only Star-Lord could because he was a Celestial
a
at that point.
Bit.
But I'm sort of assuming that Thor, sort of, other than the Hulk being the most naturally powerful person in the MCU, that he could, all, until we have Adam Warlock, which,
can,
obviously,
is
that
coming.
Will then, which is coming.
Adam
Warlock, not the early 20th century British composer,
no.
pseudonym of Peter Warlock, but in fact Adam Warlock, who was teased at the end of Guardians 2.
Yes, when she says she's going to create him and call him Adam.
Yeah,
that's right.
And Adam Warlock is one of the only people powerful enough to defeat Thanos. So we're assuming
However,
that he needs
so
to be there. We're
with
assuming
that
he needs to be involved in the Infinity War in some way, but he won't be in the first movie. So I don't know. By the way, I don't think we mentioned this last week, because I think it happened before last week, but have we seen the pictures of Black Luke Skywalker?
No.
Oh my gosh. What?
Like,
do you mean black like his clothes are black?
Yes, as in like dressed like a Sith.
I thought you meant like...
I did too. I was like,
no,
is this like
as
black
in,
Hermione?
No, black clothes. Like dark,
meant, like,
dark
Mark
Luke
Campbell
Skywalker. No.
I did see those, but I didn't think like, whoa, this is groundbreaking. Because I mean, let's be real.
He dressed in black before.
Yeah.
Well, yes, like but that was
the
like,
what,
while he was
movie?
Basically allowing the Emperor to think that he could be seduced by the dark side.
Or he was a little bit seduced by the dark side.
Think about his dad. I mean,
so there's the thing, and you know, you also heard
that
episode nine lost its director this week.
Did it? Where am I? How am I?
And so now
there's
the rumor that Rian Johnson may stay on to direct episode 9.
Wasn't the guy who directed 7 going to direct 9?
No, but if JJ came back, everybody would go nuts.
I'm pretty sure he's like a one.
JJ Abrams, I would just like to say that I'm a huge fan in case you ever listen to the MC Vocal Fry podcast.
And if you'd like to sponsor our podcast.
And if anyone at Bad Robot would like to sponsor $5 or something of the MC Vocal Fry podcast, we would be grateful.
You could do that.
I actually, you know, by the way, guys, I actually don't think that. We could probably do regular sponsorships because
I think sponsorships
for us would actually probably have to go through the Office of Giving to Mississippi College.
But you could probably give us like.
But I'm sure we could coordinate
it. Plant more bushes.
You could give. Oh, they
he
would.
Could, he could send
they
us like a. You know what would be great is if we could get like sponsors to send us instead of like money to send us
give us presents
bobbleheads of their company.
What?
Bobblehead.
No, we don't
and so
want
if
your
they
bobblehead.
Can send a bad robot bobblehead.
Okay, listen. The whole you people are in podcast world, so you could be blind and still listen to us. But understand, but there's these built-in bookcases in the office here.
Yes, I have built-ins,
and I can just imagine one by one filled with random bobbleheads.
Oh, it would be fantastic!
Here's a
larynx bobblehead.
Oh
no!
Oh, come on!
Or it's like. Here's our Don Miller bobblehead.
Like famous voice science
it's like,
people.
It's like
a Johan Sundberg bobblehead and Ingo Tietze bobblehead.
I'm decided to gift you with this. Listen, this is our next.
I want a Puccini bobblehead.
That would also be acceptable.
I think that this is our next great business venture.
We were talking about Casa di Ricordi quite a bit yesterday in class.
I know. That's why I'm thinking. I just liked the mustache, and I could just picture that on a bobblehead. That being said, I think that would be really freaky. Like, if you were having a voice lesson in here and you were facing just a wall
like
of 50 naughty
bobble
heads.
That'd be awesome.
No.
Oh, it would be great. Oh,
poor little freshmen, they would just die. They'd walk in
tell
and be
your,
like, what
tell
am
your
I doing?
Baritone, whom we don't have. But
I have a freshman
we have one,
baritone.
We have one freshman baritone. But you tell them, sing until the bobbleheads bobble.
No.
Oh my.
Oh my gosh.
Anyways. Michael had the sort of pleasure yesterday, Sarah, of sitting in on undergrad ped.
I felt like I needed physical therapy.
And he was there for like the day we were talking about expiration, which I mean, and so
that makes it sound like people
were and the actual like muscular actions that are involved in breathing, you know, exhalation.
Mm-hmm. I was so tense after listening to that for an
hour. And I think we've mentioned this last week, but like my undergrad ped class this semester, man, they want to know. It's wonderful. It really is wonderful because the curiosity in a at least half of them is supremely high, which is wonderful. If you don't know my basic thing, we go by the Disney quote about around here, we're always curious, that plays at the end of, if you've seen the movie, what's the cartoon that they based that on? The Robinsons. We sort of base the program on that Disney quote because curiosity keeps us moving forward.
And MC is weirdly obsessed with Disney.
Anyway, so we yesterday in class, Michael got to sort of experience the sort of swirling vortex that is the undergraduate pedagogy class this semester of just desiring what see the thing is. And I think, you know, it's interesting. This is actually an interesting topic to me. I think voice teachers a lot of time or let's rewind that singers a lot of the time want all the answers at once, because think of amateur singers who have never had voice lessons before. Like, they'll come to a voice coach and be like, I want to hit that high note, right? I mean, that's like,
give me some tricks to teach me how to sing.
Right. Good. And we would just like to say that here at the MC Vocal Fry podcast, one of the things that we believe in are strategies and processes. And we believe in process and we believe in strategy as it comes to voice development. And
we like the phrase joy in the journey.
Joy in the journey. And this class wants all the answers like 3 weeks ago. And we've had like 5 classes.
It's funny, you keep referring to them as the swirling vortex. And so with all like the hurricanes right now, I was like, if we were rating them on like a hurricane
scale, they're category 4.
Are they
4?
A 5?
No.
They're a 3?
They're a 4.
But the thing is, they're wonderful. I mean, they're all really brilliant. And they're fine singers. It's just that they want to know all the answers.
And
now.
Stressing
and
themselves
I
out.
I think it was valuable. One thing that she said yesterday as I was watching, because I partly came to watch the toothpaste thing.
Yes, we had toothpaste day yesterday.
The idea being, no matter where you press the toothpaste, toothpaste is gonna come out no matter where you press the tube. Meaning, wherever you squeeze, you gotta squeeze somewhere. Air is gonna come out.
In other words, wherever you're putting pressure in your abdominal area or thorax, somehow that's gonna create air coming out of your body.
And so, I mostly came to watch that because but then also.
Meaning if you're a low supporter or a mid supporter or a high supporter or a rib supporter, it's still all going to blow air out of your body.
And so, but came to see that, and then I kind of stayed to kind of, you know, I'm like watching teaching. That's what we're doing, you know? That's what we're here to do. We're voice ped people. And so watching this, it was the most valuable thing that I heard you say was, because it was really clear that these students wanted to know mostly so that they could sing better.
Right.
And so you had said, I'm not here to help you sing better. I'm here to help you help your students one day sing better. And I thought that was really crucial because it shifts the focus rather than going, oh, God, what if my whole everything has been wrong and my junior recital will be a wreck? You know, instead
right.
it will be, oh, this is someday I'm going to teach students and I need to be able to help them whether they support low, medium, or high or whatever, doing a million different things. And so
I sort of view my role as undergraduate ped teacher as almost voice grandpa.
We moved from dad to grandpa.
Well I say that because I'm really not trying to affect them. If I affect them in a positive way or hopefully not a negative way, I think sometimes the confusion at the get-go might be negative, but I mean confusion meaning like they want to know all the answers and it's a course, I have to take them through a process. But I mean grandpa, like I'm the grandfathered generation and then they are the parent generation of their students eventually. So I guess I'm the, you know, maybe parent trying to prepare his child to become a parent. I guess that's sort of how I view my role in undergraduate pedagogy. Okay, so this week, let's update where we're at.
something I regarding that, because I've been you know, talking to people and just like being like and hearing people say like, oh, I'm gonna do the study, this kind of thing. I've been having this thought, and I think the same thing that generates 8,000 questions in the undergraduate ped, that is to say, I want to sing better yesterday, and I want to know all the answers yesterday, and the kind of anxiety of what if I've been doing everything wrong my whole life is generating, is one of the same things that's generating interest in our study. Because
oh, yeah.
People want to know,
how
I
so?
Want to see, that. It's kind of like when, honestly, and I'm not sure how I feel about it, because... Like I love that we have all these subjects.
They think it's going to be some big benefit to their own singing.
It's the same thing
oh,
as
yeah.
like when people
100%.
With a disease. It's like when people with an incurable disease have like will take a strange experimental drug study because they expect it to cure them yesterday.
Yeah.
And in most of those, there's always also a control group that's given a sugar pill.
Right.
And
that's
who almost
like,
always shows the best result. No, just not always shows
the
best results.
You have to wonder if them going into this thinking it's going to make.
Right, it's a consideration for bias.
Yeah.
Right.
Double effect.
Right. Yeah, we certainly don't. Well, the thing is, but if they think that, if they come in with that attitude every day, I mean, the reality is that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Right.
No.
Because if they believe, oh, it's helpful.
You can open the door. Yeah, it's Dr. Michael Rushing taking a photograph of our filming the MC Vocal Fry podcast. He's my wonderful piano pedagogy colleague. He's got some revolutionary ways that he's looking at changing class piano. I mean, absolutely
really?
Revolutionary, wonderful. Like the way they're introducing music to the students with this thing he's doing, it's unbelievable. It's not fully integrated yet, but as they get it fully integrated, I think it will revolutionize the way he teaches. They all teach that our students perceive music, which is wonderful. It's much more perceptional as noise than dots on a paper.
See, that's so, I love that.
I wanted to talk a little bit today about what we're going to have the subjects do when they're in here, as partially as getting you guys prepped to help me collect data. Okay, and we can talk about this more next week. But let's give our listeners the overview, sort of, shall we? So we're trying to look at what incorporating laryngeal manipulation would do if we're incorporating it into a singing warm-up. So obviously, we also believe, I think, I mean, I honestly don't know. I'm trying to go into this with no bias. I mean, because the reality is I'm not really sure what day we're going to have the best result. I really don't know. I think I know in my mind, but I sort of don't even want to say that out loud. And so we've set this up as sort of other studies that have looked at, there was a study by the folks over at Auburn where they, Mary Sandage and Matt Hawk, his Journal of Voice, I think 2015, where they looked at the inclusion of semi-occluded vocal tract exercises that we're all big fans of, right? Straw and, you know.
Can I just say, a couple months ago, I saw a Disney Channel show with straw exercises, oddly enough.
What?
Yeah, I sent you a picture of it.
Oh, that's right.
There was a girl, there's a Disney Channel show about a young teenage pop star, and in the video,
right.
In the show, she sustains a voice injury. She goes, has therapy or surgery or something, then comes back, and in classic Disney fashion, it's like overblown, but they like she comes in and has like, she has 20 straws shoved into her mouth. Because they're like, more is better, right? But it just, I found it so interesting that someone at Disney said, like, it's gotten that big that someone at Disney said, you know, pop singers use straws, so let's make a comedic event out of this and make her use 20.
I'd like to point out that anyone can use a straw and benefit from it, not just
yeah,
pop singers.
For sure.
Yeah.
But it was so, I don't know, so interesting to see it make its way into the Disney Channel.
That's awesome. I remember you sending me that, actually, now that you reminded me of that. Sorry, my brain is sort of so full of different things that I keep forgetting details.
You have to be
reminded
of.
Yes, but then once, like the fact that one of our colleagues was not going
to
be in class yesterday, who had totally told me that, and I had completely forgotten until I was reminded, oh, yes, right, she was in fact not going. Anyway.
The library is full. The index is faulty.
Yeah,
that, there it is.
That. Keep the important information.
Oh my. Okay, so basically we're gonna have the subjects come in. They're gonna get a screening out of this. It's one of the benefits for the singers. They're gonna get a basic rigid stroboscopy so that we can call that non-invasive. because if we do it flexi, they have to go through their nose, and that we consider that invasive. So to do the research, we're just going to do with a rigid scope just into the mouth, get a picture, confirm natural tissue. So that'll be something that'll be good for them. And Josie will also evaluate them while they're down there with a document called the CAPE V, very voice speech pathology oriented. And we're going to have them do a singing VHI-10 as well. We'll look at that data before they do any of this. But then what they're going to do here with us is 4 consecutive days. We're going to set up a schedule, and we're going to try to do it early morning, but I have a feeling there are going to be a couple of subjects that end up having class like every day or something, or like their Monday, Wednesday, Friday will not be possible in the morning. And what I want to do is I still want to keep it consistent that we're going to do it at the same time every day. And what I will ask them to do, if we do have to do like a 1 o'clock or something like that, or a 2 o'clock, I will ask the subject to do their best to not sing that day if possible.
Okay.
Or talk very much.
Or, well, I don't necessarily mind it if they talk, I don't think. Anyway, so we're going to have them come in for 4 consecutive days. Because the reality is, if you were going to practice a day, you would talk before that.
That's true.
Well, I mean, it's not like, I mean, you might be really conscious if you think you're sick or something.
Yeah.
But the reality is, anyway, but that's why we're going to try to have them in the morning. We'll do our best. So they're going to come in for 4 days. And the way we set this up, like I said, is similar to the Auburn study, and where they were testing semi-occludeds incorporation. And so on the very first day, what is that? I got to get
vocalizing.
My sheet out. That's basic vocalizing, right?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to talk about videos here in a second. So on the first day, we actually have made a video of 10 minutes of vocalizing. We've made, Sarah and I came in this summer, and we made a video of high female, low female, of her demonstrating the exercises, me playing the piano. And then we did 2 more of high male and low male of me demonstrating the exercises. And rather than put the students, you know, with us just vocalizing them, even if it were the same exercise, we're just going to show them the video, crank the volume up till, you know, that we'll let them adjust the volume. That's one of the things I wanted to tell you guys. We'll let them adjust the volume as they would like it, if they want it louder, if they want it quieter, but we want them to feel confident making noise. So we want them to feel supported by the piano.
Through the video, okay.
Michael is actually performing laryngeal manipulation on himself as we're talking about this. It just sort of seemed very ironic.
This is habit now.
Yeah, he's actually gotten
That's
into a
true.
Habit of incorporating
just
this into his life.
I'll see you walking down the road doing it, and I'm just like, oh, there goes Michael.
It's been helping, and strange fact, I have discovered that there are things in my neck that I thought were bones, but they're not. They're just tension.
Michael has struggled with articulator tension at times in his singing.
Always.
But it's really come a long way. Anyway, so that first day, they're going to come in and watch that video. And, well, actually, okay, let me rewind. Each day that they come in with the PAS, we're going to take measures on them. And we'll go over that another day and maybe talk about exactly what they're going to do with that maybe next week. Because that'll happen each day of this testing. We'll take some pre-measures for that day and then some pre-measures for some post-measures for that day. And so we'll get a pre and a post of what their laryngeal airway resistance, their subglottic pressure, their airflow, their sound level pressure at the same pitch. We're going to give them a pitch and ask them to do it on a couple of different vowels. But my guess is that with PAW, we're just going to get the best results with this. So anyway, we'll get the before and after each day. We can also compare it day to day and look at like a percentage change. If like, you know, even if their subglottic pressure was higher on Tuesday, but the percentage change was way different, you know, pre to post, then that's worth considering as well. That's something we'll look at as we have more data. So the second day they're going to come in, again, these are consecutive days. It should only take about 20 minutes. The second day they're going to come in, we'll do the pre and the post measures with the PAS, but the second day they're actually just going to come in and sit here, which might get a little unnerving, but, I mean, we're going to let them play on their phone or...
Well, We can all play on our phone.
Yeah, I mean, as long as, but we're all gonna have an agreement that the subject doesn't speak. Which, granted, as we sort of toyed around with this with just friends of ours in the spring, for certain individuals, getting them to sit here for 10 minutes and not speak is a challenge. Singers tend to be somewhat...
talkative?
Is that a word?
Talkative?
Boisterous?
Is a real word.
Oh.
No, I realize it's a real word.
Okay, I mean,
what would be the word we'd really refer to some of those folks as, though?
I don't even know where to begin.
Yeah, right. Anyway, so that's day two. Day three, they're going to come in, and they're going to just do the laryngeal manipulation video. Well, I mean, again, pre and post measures. But they're going to sit there, and again, we are not touching anybody. We are not licensed speech therapists, nor are we licensed physical therapists. But we've developed this protocol with speech and physical therapists who have talked with us. And we're doing exercises with the laryngeal manipulation that are similar to what would be like homework between therapy sessions.
Yeah.
And the kind of things that some singers already put into practice.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people who do some of this stuff. I mean, for example, one of the things that we have them do is sort of take their thumb and try to dig into the root of their tongue. That is certainly not a foreign thing to many singers.
I'd say that's probably the most common.
That's probably the most... Well, I mean, massaging the masseter and pressing on the masseter is pretty common as well. Jaw muscle, for those of you who don't know.
I think as we describe LM to different people, like, I think that describing those two things specifically, mentioning those two things specifically, will help people have a better picture of this.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Of what we're doing.
Right.
Because it's familiar.
Because if you say laryngeal manipulation, that could just mean anything.
And that also just sounds awkward.
And the reality is, in terms of what would really truly be called a circumlaryngeal massage exercise, it really is only sort of the last two things that deal necessarily direct. Because we're trying to go, one of the things that physical therapists try to do when they do myofascial release is they try to go superficial and then more interior.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how we're sort of treating this as well. So that anyway, that's day three. So they'll do their pre-measures.
On day three with the laryngeal manipulation, they're also not going to be
talking. We're going to encourage them to not talk, but when we were making the videos, we were like, you
talk
can keep
so
breathing,
much.
You can keep breathing. Oh, yeah, we talked a lot. well, not while the person was massaging themselves, I guess, or pressing on their face and neck.
It's just so hard to talk about this and not make it sound strange, because even massage yourself sounds weird.
Well, I mean, you know,
it's just
the thing is,
and
one of the things in the literature, I think we mentioned this, or we actually might have mentioned this in the first episode that we lost this audio. I mean, so the different things that you'll see this called, which all sort of slightly do mean different things, circumlaryngeal massage, laryngeal manipulation therapy, laryngeal massage. I mean, you know, so it's like there's so many different things that people call it that are in the literature. And obviously, like, circumlaryngeal massage refers more to you massaging literally the areas at the larynx. But as we all know, as voice teachers, or maybe you don't, listeners, so many of these muscles are connected like one off or directly to the hyoid bone that you can't just deal with the larynx. I mean, you have to sort of deal with the articulatory system. We're going below and above the larynx as well. I mean, you have to deal with the extrinsic and the intrinsic musculature. Well, we can't really get to the intrinsic musculature, but we are trying to. Well, we sort of are with the exercise where the hyoid goes one direction and the thyroid goes the other.
Yeah.
I mean, that in a way more directly influences the intrinsic musculature. But anyway, day three is the circumlaryngeal massage business, and then day four is the day when we're going to measure it and we're going to combine it. So on day four, we'll take a pre-measure. We will then have them do the circumlaryngeal manipulation video or laryngeal manipulation video, and then they will do a voice warm-up, the voice warm-up video, and then we'll take a post-measure. And, I mean, we're putting that last as the last one of the week, mostly just because they'll have done each of them before. I mean, I guess it has the potential to sway our data, but by the fact that they'll have already done that warm-up once and that protocol once, and it won't be the first time, but it may not. They may then have some kind of preconceived idea in their head of what it will do.
And that's practically impossible to avoid, because if you put it first, still, when you got to, you know, the day that you just did the warm-up or you just did the laryngeal massage, they still would have already done it once, and it could still affect it, so
right.
No matter how you flip it.
Right. I mean, so anyway, so those are our 4 days of testing. The pre and the post measure should take about 5 minutes each. Just to make sure the files are saved and we have signal. And I do think we might want to set up a day for each of these folks to be able to come in here and use the PAS once to get a little bit comfortable with the tube in their mouth. Because the way the PAS works, as we described it a little bit last week, but one of the things we didn't really get into is that there's a tube that comes through the mask, and it actually sits inside your lip, because your lips have to close for that tube to get the intraoral pressure reading. If your lips are open, it doesn't get a reading. And we might want to give them a chance to practice that.
Yeah.
Would it be possible for us to do that in like one or two large groups?
That's my thought.
Would just be to have, you know, set aside a day that we can just do that.
Definitely, I sang weird the first time I used the PAS because
I
was just
to get used to it.
Right. I mean, I guess we could work that into day one and just let them do it a few times before we actually took their measures.
Yeah. But I think it'd be better to have an extra day of it, you know?
Yes, but we also need to recognize that we do need to protect their subject anonymity, even from each other.
Oh. I hadn't thought about that.
So, it presents a bit of an issue.
Yeah.
I mean, the reality is, because we're a smaller department,
everybody knows who's
pretty
doing
much
what.
Knows who's doing.
Well, because they're going to see them walk out of my office, and they're not all my voice students.
Well, and there are only so many voice students. I mean, I think most of them are probably going to end up.
Yeah, we have about 60.
Doing this.
And the fact is, most of them are like, "Hey, are you doing that study?
Yeah,
I'm
that's
doing
true.
That study. Are you doing that study?
They like go with their friends.
But it's not for
well,
us
that's
to
that's their business.
Right.
I mean,
that's
they can.
True.
Yeah, if a subject wants to reveal that they're doing something or they did something, that's their own business.
Like
we have no say over that whatsoever. I mean, that's, you know, you're an autonomous person, so I mean, do whatever you want.
Like, no.
Hopefully we'll have a student like that one, so like
the demand
that demanded to be known.
So Sarah, describe the day we filmed the videos.
Oh, it started out like fairly normal. They probably look like really nice voice lessons at first, but by the
well,
time,
the only thing you can see on the vocalizing is me.
That's true. It does get a little weird because like the longer we're in it, like he starts like reacting to me. Of course, I'm not in the video, and so it looks like he's just laughing at space or like.
Well, I was trying to react the way I was trying to react with positive reactions that I would use in the studio. And so Michael's like literally making my faces that I would make at the piano while I'm teaching.
It was like an episode of Dora the Explorer where he would be like, "Wow, that was really good. Let's do it again."
You
and
know,
then just silence.
Charlie never really watched Dora. Neither of my kids did, but he did watch
Blue's Clues.
No, what's her cousin? What was her cousin's name?
Diego.
Yeah.
With Click the Camera.
Yeah.
Oh man, that song. Click la camera, come take
a. That was a
pick.
Little after me. I did Dora.
Oh my.
Jose Carreras recording of that seminal classic.
Did you see Carreras was a public appearance this week at the Pavarotti thing that they did at Arena de Verona?
No, I didn't hear about that.
I did not.
Yeah, he and Domingo were both there. I mean, Domingo was there, of course.
Speaking of opera people and. I would just like to say I was so sad when not one of those undergrad ped students could name Puccini yesterday.
Oh,
I
man,
was heartbroken.
Wait,
it was
angry.
Horrifying.
Why could
so
they not?
I was trying to get them to get the answer. I was trying to lead them to the answer of, you know, Caruso we were talking about Caruso and why he breathed only the way he did. If you've ever read Caruso on the Art of Singing or whatever the book is called exactly, and why he breathed the way he did is partially related to the repertoire he sang, and he was very rooted in the Verismo era. And so I was trying to lead them to like late the important 19th, early 20th century Italian opera composer who was very dominant in the field at that point. And I was trying.
In their defense, I'm not sure they've taken that.
They thing. Had.
They had? Oh.
Oh,
mind.
Wait. Is that
they
the third semester?
I think they always do them out of order. And it's different, like, every time.
Well, but they also are using the Norton Anthology of Music, and I think Puccini's almost non-existent.
Barely,
yeah.
But honestly, as voice people, it shouldn't matter because they should be listening to operas.
Well, they might listen to them, but they might not know it's Verismo.
Right. Or know when it was when Verismo was a
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. Like, they might just know, oh, Puccini, I like that guy.
Nevertheless, to see upper-level students, because I only have juniors and seniors in there, not knowing when Puccini wrote opera, it was pretty disheartening.
So much of it, that just makes me so. That felt crazy.
So anyway, yeah. At the end, the to finish the video
anyway,
thought,
sorry.
It was just a little bit odd that at the end of the day, I mean, it was just the two of us sitting
by
in
the
here.
Massaging.
And I mean, I'd like to point out that I have an open window in my studio, so anybody could look in my studio
weird.
Anytime. But it was just us sitting here in the two chairs that Michael and Sarah are currently sitting in,
yep.
And one of us would be sitting there. Performing the laryngeal manipulation on ourselves, and the other person would be describing
narrating.
What the other narrating what the other person was doing, so that the video is basically instructional, both from a auditory standpoint and from a visual standpoint.
Like,
but like, unfortunately, I might be one of those people that gets a little uncomfortable with silence, and so instead of just sitting there and letting him like. Do the
she
massage.
Just kept
I
talking.
Just kind of kept talking, and it got weirder and weirder until we're like, always be breathing. Abba. It could be Abba.
Yeah, we went
always
to this thing.
Be breathing.
Always.
Or is that like Abba? Isn't that father?
And
in
then
the
we
Bible?
Were like, oh, wait, that's like the Hebrew word for father, too, but it was also a Norwegian rock. Pop
like,
band in the 70s.
Just gotta, I mean, keep in mind, this is what, like hour four at this point? I mean,
no.
Three.
It took us 2 hours
we took
total.
More than 2 hours.
We
like
were done
say,
by
I,
11.
I was not a part of,
no,
of this wait. Video making madness.
Well, I didn't need more you to be here. I needed a woman and a man. And
I know. I'm just saying I'm very thankful I wasn't here.
Because for those videos, I wanted the subjects to feel comfortable if they didn't want to look at a... If a woman didn't want to look at a man doing it or a man didn't want to look at a woman doing it. I you know, I don't know. I mean,
what are you going to do if a man wants to look at a woman? Doing
then
it?
That's fine.
Okay. Just, I don't know why they would.
I feel like it's their choice.
Yeah,
I mean,
was part of this study. I wouldn't want to look at Perna's face for several minutes. Here we go.
It's 10 minutes.
Okay. Ten is enough to be several.
Well, till we describe the different, till we describe them, it actually that video actually ended up being 14 minutes, so it's a little bit
yeah,
longer.
It's a little longer.
But that they only are actually performing the operations on themselves for a total of 10 minutes.
Yeah,
we had a timer.
You have to like talk through what you're gonna do and kind of demonstrate before they start.
Yeah.
So
yeah, gosh, we are almost out of time.
Oh.
That is sort of remarkable. You guys have an Act One run through from Memory of Magic Flute today. How we feeling?
I think Michael wishes he had like the serpent had eaten him so that he didn't have to sing.
I was telling Michael, wait, just for the podcast audience, I was telling Michael that the one of the times I had done Magic Flute, I fell asleep after I passed out. It was because I was in college at that point and I had been really busy with the tech stuff, and I had had a really busy week, and I had fallen asleep.
If you
asleep.
Don't know, at the end of the very first scene, you're like, help
Tamino's
me. Tamino's
passed
you,
out
Tamino
by the snake.
Out,
and then the
and
ladies
then
save him.
And the three ladies sing this lovely trio.
That might just
you know, it's interesting. Hearing the beginning of, sort of to bring us back to the first episode we did, hearing the beginning of Magic Flute with the dragon is a little bit like Game of Thrones. It sounds a little bit like we're in the middle of an episode of Game of Thrones. And then all of a sudden, there's this crazy bird man.
Which is, you know,
bird
something that could happen
man.
In Game of Thrones.
Anyway, okay, good. So good luck with that this afternoon, both of you. It'll
thanks.
Be fantastic. I'm looking forward to it. My wife is music directing that show, Dr. Spivak, and I know it's going to be directing it, I guess. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. I can't wait. It's a great piece. Magic Flute's one of my five favorite operas.
No pressure.
Someday we should get into that list.
Yeah, someday.
The favorite operas?
Look, yeah. Someday there's going to be a book called Perna's List.
Yeah. we have talked about writing that book, actually.
Coffee table book.
Yeah.
A
coffee table book about coffee tables?
Yeah.
That was a Seinfeld episode.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, good. Takeaways.
Oh, no.
Been listening to an audiobook called Destined to Win, which is about how greatness is in every person, and it makes me feel better about myself because Magic Flute, Destined to Win, Chris Valentin. That's all.
Oh, is it me?
Yeah.
Still really bad at this.
Sarah, we do this
every
week.
I know, but as soon as you say, oh, takeaway, I'm like, well, my brain has stopped. This is it. This is going to be it. I just want y'all to know every week. Let's see. Sleep. Sleep's important. I miss sleep.
Oh, I went to bed really at 10 now. O'clock last night, and it was so early, and I woke up at 6:30 today, and I felt like I was 19 years old.
I go to bed early.
So alive.
I go to bed at 8:30.
Yeah, your wife doesn't like
that. That's very early.
She's told me multiple times. This has been a really hard lifestyle switch for me.
But I also get up at 5, so.
Yeah. I go to bed early. I just lay there, and I'm just like, huh, isn't this great?
Anyway, my takeaway. I've been reading a book that I'm very fond of for artists called Zen and the Art of Archery by, I'm assuming you say his name, Eugen Hedigel.
Why don't you spell that for the people?
Eugen.
Would not have guessed that.
Herrigel. He's German.
Oh.
I just want to read you this one quote. It's talking about sort of the archer going back to a place where he's not trying to hit the target, but he's not trying to accomplish the task. And I think singers so often spend so much time trying to accomplish the task rather than just becoming sort of
be the ball.
Yes, very be the ball. It actually reminds me very much of Bagger Vance when Bagger Vance tells him to see the field.
I saw that movie.
That's one of my favorite cinematic moments ever. But it says, or to use some expressions which are nearest to the heart of the masters, it is necessary for the archer to become, in spite of himself, an unmoved center. Then comes the supreme and ultimate miracle. Art becomes artless. Shooting becomes not shooting. A shooting without bow and arrow. The teacher becomes a pupil again. The master a beginner. The end a beginning. And the beginning perfection. I think that's such a wonderful thought for an artist to realize. Particularly, I think when art becomes artless, art becomes not about you. Mm-hmm. And I think if we as singers can realize that our singing is not meant to be about us, it is meant to be about our audience and how we can then affect that audience, either emotionally or spiritually, or, you know, if we're talking about a worship leader or, you know, maybe even physically, you know, if you move them to goosebumps or tears or what have you. And I think if we can even approach so many things that we do as people from the place of not what can this thing or this action or this whatever do for me, but what can me learning how to sing better, mastering my archery, what can that even then do for somebody else? I think if we can approach so much of what we do, even our, especially our voice teaching in the end, this is not about me. This is about helping you, which can then in turn help someone else by you singing Im Wunderschönen Monat Mai. And if we can approach so much of that from that place, I think it's such a wonderful place to exist.
Well, especially as pedagogy people, to think about an artless art. You know, because we sit here and talk about resonance and phonation
science.
And breathing, and then we all need physical therapy because we've talked about breathing for an hour. It's like, you know, and then you come back and you say, an artless art. You just put it all aside and you just sing. It's something else.
Yeah, the poet not obsessing about words, but the poet already being the poem.
Indeed.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, that's it for today, guys. Have a great week.
Bye.
The time machine is leaving you now.